ones that are going through this pool of Bethesda. And they're all being washed. So in a course of time, it's going to have an odor about the place. It's going to have a smell about the place. And it's going to be the smell of sheep, and people don't like that smell. And yet there's a multitude of men and women at the pool of Bethesda when the Lord Jesus Christ goes there on a Sabbath day. So there must be something very unusual about the pool of Bethesda, that a multitude like this one man for 38 years has sat around that stinking pool. There must be something unusual about it. And what is more, all of your Bibles will have verse 70, because Jesus said to him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. So I want us to revisit just briefly this morning the biggest Baptist church in Jerusalem, and it's called Bethesda. And we're told here that it had five porches. Now, numbers in Scripture, there's a relevance to numbers. There's a significance. Don't push it too far. But you can to some degree. And five is the number of divine grace. And how true that was of this pool of Bethesda. Because you see, these five porches, had courted divine favor. It had indeed attracted divine attention. And how favored indeed was this place called Bethesda. Because you see, seemingly almost the day of miracles was over. And there was very, very little of the supernatural to be found in the land of Israel at this particular time. And the great preachers were silent, and all the prophets have gone. And yet indeed, here was a place where miracles took place. Here was a place, you see, of blessing. Here was a place that every so often heaven came down and touched earth. Here was a geographical location that was actually touched by a heavenly visitor. Here, every so often, you see, an angel came down from the realms of glory, came to this place called Bethesda. It was a glorious place, and as a result, you see, of the angel coming down and touching earth, the healing waters flowed, and there was a life-giving stream. Here was a place, you see, that over the years had witnessed countless blessings. Lives had been changed and bodies had been healed. And this was true of this Bethesda. It was a glorious place to be in. You never knew when the next visitation of God was going to be. That's why you need to call it Bethesda. You see, because here was a unique place. This pool of Bethesda. That's why people were waiting. They were waiting for heaven to come down and touch earth. And when it did, it was so glorious. It was an exceptional place. That's why multitudes flocked there, because they never knew when heaven was going to come down. And over the years, what testimonies could be told by those five porches and those four walls. And yet you see, on this particular day, when the Lord Jesus Christ visited the pool of Bethesda, there was a multitude of impotent, which meant that they were helpless individuals. Those that were blind who couldn't see, those that were lame that couldn't walk, those indeed that had withered lives, part of their lives had been withered away and wasted away, and we only have one life, and we can't afford to allow our lives to be withering away before our very eyes. And here was a man that had waited there for 38 years. Now, I never understood why there should be still a multitude of helpless and sick and infirm and lame people at the pool of Bethesda. Why are they still there and yet not healed? I mean, there must be a fraternity of sickness. There must be a fraternity of illness and pain. Why don't you guys put your heads together and start to devise something? Because an angel is going to come down and touch the waters, and when he does, then whosoever first gets into those waters is going to be made whole. Why don't you collaborate and decide that, you know, when those waters start moving, that you're all going to get into it together? And if you do, then surely It will make you whole, the whole bunch of you. Get into the waters when they're troubled. But they don't. And you see here indeed, on this particular Sabbath day, there is a multitude within the porches and without healing. You see, they are attending to this sacred spot, this glorious place where every so often heaven came down and touched earth. They are sitting around. This man had been sitting there for 38 years, sitting in the same condition as he was. Nay, he was worse than the first day that he'd first gone there. And yet, you see, they could all say, I remember. I remember. I remember. They could all talk about it yesterday. They could all talk about lives that have been changed. They could all talk about lives that have been healed. They had witnessed others that had got into those waters, and yet somehow or other they had missed themselves. They could all tell testimonies about how others who were sitting next to them had got into this water and they had been made whole. Waiting. My dear ones, they were all so near, and yet so far. And I want to tell you something about this place. Whatever you may think about these four walls, heaven does come down every so often and touch earth. And lives have and yet still will be changed within this place called Bethesda. You see, it isn't everywhere where heaven comes down and touches earth. Can you tell me any well place in San Antonio this morning where God is to be found? Because if you know of any place where God is really to be found, let's pack up and let's go. Oh, the minister is going to get up in the pulpit this morning and say, well, God is here because where two or three are gathered together, I'm there in the midst. That's what he said. You can assume a lot of things, but there's a lot of difference between assuming a thing and knowing a thing. And in all the junk that's preached around San Antonio, I doubt if God is in very many places, in all due respect. Because you see, most of them are denying the scriptures from Genesis right through to the book of the Revelation. They pick and sort it out. You know, you go into some of these big stores and they have, you know, a whole rack of various kinds of goodies, and they have a little container for you to pick and mix. You see it? So you go from this box to this box to this box to some other box, and you pick and you mix. And you take it to the counter and you buy just what you want, not what you're given. Right. See, what we do in the scriptures, we pick and mix. We don't preach the whole counsel of God. How many ministers in San Antonio would know what the whole counsel of God is? They say, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And what they mean by the gospel is, Jesus loves you. Well, we're not so sure about that. Because my Bible says that he's at war with those that fight against him.
Right.
And my Bible says the natural man is at enmity with
right.
God.
Right.
And my Bible teaches me that when this little child is born into the world, it objects to coming into the world in the first instance. You say it's born in innocency? Well, the funny thing is, you know that as soon as it is born into this world, it cries, I don't want to come. I never asked to come here, and you brought me here. And they object, and they go on objecting. Because their whole life is, no, 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 no. Haven't you found that out? You don't have to teach them no. They already know that instinctively, to say no. They rebel from the very first time they come out of the womb. And they go on rebelling. And that's exactly the same as you and me, apart from God's grace.
Right.
We have to be taught. Yes. Yes. Because we'll constantly say no to God. And you can never say yes to God unless the Holy Spirit teaches you to say yes. So do you know any place where God is to be found? Well, I wouldn't boast of the situation this morning, but I do believe that he is around. And here is a place where the healing waters have flown. And here indeed it flowed. And here indeed is a place, you see, where an angel comes down, whatever you may think about the minister, every so often. And God speaks through this man, and we hear something from heaven. And you know, men and women respond to the message of the gospel, and they find that they are healed and they're made whole. Ask the seven that were here last evening. They felt indeed that the healing waters were flowing. They knew something about heaven coming down and touching earth. If it never ever happened before, it happened last night. Heaven came down and touched earth. There was nothing about the preacher, but God came himself, and he went from heart to heart and pew to pew. And they knew that the healing waters were flowing, and they wanted to be made whole. And they jumped in, and they were made whole. And yet, you see, here we are sitting in the same place this morning. And there may be somebody here this morning who is not whole. So near to heaven's gate. Two thieves crucified alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. One turns to the Lord and he says, "Lord, will you remember me? Just remember me. Just remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Boy, you and I are going to go into paradise." And the other, he was so near. If his hands were loose, he could have leaned across. He could have touched the Lord's Christ. Have you ever thought about the honor that was bestowed upon these two thieves that they should die with Christ? When a person comes to die and he has the opportunity to choose when he's going to die, he only gathers around him his kith and his kin, his nearest ones, his dearest ones. And from all eternity, my Savior chose his deathbed, and he chose his companion. And here indeed was this one. What an honor! What an honor to die with Christ. All the agony of crucifixion may have been excruciating, but man alive, when you looked once into his eyes and into his face, I guess you must have forgotten your pain. Because Moses, when he meets with God off the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, is he oblivious of all the requirements that earth demands and your body demands in 40 days and 40 nights? He never went to the bathroom. He never had anything to eat or to drink. He was transfixed for 40 days and 40 nights. He was taken up with heaven. And my dear one here this morning, heaven is made up of the Lord's cross. And heaven is not heaven unless he's there. Because where Jesus is, there's heaven there. And so it was heaven to be on a cross. Can you believe it? And one turns to the Lord and he says, "Remember me." And the other one, he was so near. Open your mouth, man. Turn to him. Look what your buddy has done. Look what has happened to him. Why don't you do the same? He's so near to the Lord's Christ. He would throw their empires away and cast their crown jewels away in order to be alongside the Lord's Christ. So near. So far. You can brush heaven's gates. You go to hell. The God of grace came one Sunday, one Sabbath day, to the pool of Bethesda, and he said to this man, "Do you want to be made whole? You don't believe in election? Well, I'm sorry, the Lord preaches it here."
Right.
He doesn't say to the whole multitude, but he says to one man, "Wilt thou be made whole?"
Good. Amen.
You know, the amazing thing is, I believe this man had forgotten why he was there. You don't think so? I tell you, 38 years is a long time. You know, one day he was ill, and he's been ill for 38 years. He had some friends. And they said, "You know what, Jim? We've heard some tremendous stories about a place called Bethesda. We hear that every so often an angel came down, troubles the water, first one in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Jim, we want to take you there. Take me to that place where the healing waters are, please. Because the physicians have done their utmost and I'm not any better. And I want to be made whole. Oh, take me to Bethesda. And they took him to Bethesda and they put him by the side of the pool and they said, Boy, as soon as you see those waters, boy, move. You jump in. Move yourself. Get in. And so he'd gone. And with great anticipation, he couldn't sleep night and day, just in case at night the angel came. And he wanted his eyes wide open for those waters that were moving. And as soon as they moved, he was determined to get in, but he had missed. And it had gone on for 38 years. Missing all the time. And now he looks around him. And he says, well, everybody else is like me. Some are worse than me. So he folds his arms and waits to die. And Jesus comes to him one day. And he says, you want to be made whole? And suddenly he realizes, I am not whole. I walked through a little village just outside Rome some years ago. It's called Po, Pio, on a mountain. Top of a mountain just like the rest of the villages around Rome, and just like Rome itself, it's built on 7 hills. Or a number of hills, whatever. And walking through this little town, there was a number of men I noticed every day. Whole line of them. Right their way alongside the side of this Roman Catholic church. And here they were in little chairs, all sitting, facing the sun. Buongiorno, come stai? Oh, Ben. How are you? What are you waiting here for? What are you doing here? Just watching the sun come up and go down, waiting to die. Pathetic, sad. He was just waiting to die, was this man at the pool of Bethesda, resigned to his fate. And Jesus came to him and said, you are to be made whole. And my dear one here this morning, perhaps there was a time in your life when you wanted to be made whole. And you heard about Jesus could do for sinners good. And you came to whatever place it was. Perhaps you didn't like the accent of the preacher. Perhaps you didn't like the way that he dressed. Perhaps somehow or other you didn't like this, that, and something else, and you have missed for 38 years. I want to tell you something this morning. You want to be made whole. Because unless you've been to a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, you are not whole. And that's no kind of living just waiting to die. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? That's what the Lord asks of us this morning. Do you want to be made whole? Now, how was it that there was a multitude of men and women that were not made whole? What on earth were they waiting for? Well, you know, they were waiting for the waters. They were looking to the waters. It's only the waters that are going to do me good. Jesus come to this man and said, wilt thou be made whole? And the man said immediately, you know, I don't have anybody to put me into the waters. The only way that I can be made whole is the water. So they were looking to the externals. The moving of the waters, externals, the means, the ordinances. Stay by the full pool. If I stay by the pool, then I'll be made whole. I've stood at the shrine of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal. And I've seen the multitudes in their wheel carriages and on their stretchers and in their ambulances pull up to Our Lady of Fatima. She doesn't give her healing away free like Jesus did. Funny, isn't it?
Yes.
They charge for it.
Yes.
Some dirty piece of cloth. Some Roman Catholic priest will go up to the image and touch the image and bring it back and lay it on your fevered brow. Oh, it's going to cost you some escudos. Or some dollars, as you would say. Nothing's free.
Right.
Wherever Jesus went, he never made a charge.
Right.
You're supposed to be the same bunch, you know.
Oh,
same group.
Yes,
yeah, they charge. He didn't. He made them whole.
Right.
You go the last day of Fatima. And you listen to the songs which they sing. Goodbye, Fatima. Goodbye. We've got to wait here for another 12 months to have the opportunity to be made whole. We didn't have enough escudos, so we haven't enough money, you know, for some Catholic priest to go and put it on Our Lady of Fatima and bring it and put it on our fevered brow or our crippled bodies and make us whole. But we have to wait. We have to wait another 12 months, and they sing an awful, mournful hymn about goodbye, Fatima. Waiting, waiting, looking to the waters. You don't need Fatima.
Right.
You don't need waters. You look into these externals. Had some holy water sprinkled over you by some Roman Catholic priest. And they said that you belong to the church. Perhaps you went to some Episcopalian or some Methodist church or some Baptist church, and you indeed walked to the aisle, and then indeed they baptized you and they said, now kid, it's all right for the rest of your days. You are saved and you are sealed and it's all right. Are you looking to these means? Are you looking to the externals? You took the wafer, you drank the cup. They said you that you were taking the body and the blood of Christ. What do you think you are, a bunch of cannibals? That is not the body, that's just symbols.
Right.
Yeah. Just types. Shadows.
Yeah.
How come you know that they give you that little wafer and you swallow it quick? Jesus said, eat this bread. Chew it, because it has a significance. Crush, broke, mangle. And drink this cup. You can't drink the wine, can you? But the old priest can. And get blind drunk on the best wine. Oh yes, they'll have the best wine, of course. They won't have it watered down. You look into these things, my friend. Come with me to Valencia Cathedral in Spain. You believe in purgatory? Well, there's a canon there. There's a cardinal, rather, of the Catholic Church. He's in his esophagus. Glass top. Stone. Coffin. Glass top. You can see the old boy. Still got his mitre on. Still dressed up. Skin pulled across his face. He's a cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church. They tell me he's in purgatory. He's been dead 1,200 years. He's asking you to pray for him. Now, if he's a cardinal, waiting 1,200 years to get out of purgatory, and he's ain't out of purgatory yet, I don't think you have much chance at all, do you? What are you looking to? Jesus. The sun has got nothing to do with the waters. I, the way, the truth, and the life. You want to be made whole. Looking to the waters, they were waiting for a certain season. Time when everything was going to be right. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And have you noticed when the certain season was? It was when the waters were troubled. So you say, not now. When I'm on my deathbed. And 70% of the people, so the doctors tell us, who go out into eternity in a coma. When did you last see a person die with his full faculties? As soon as you go in, they start drugging you in hospital. It's not long before you go into a coma and you can't decide about anything. It's a dangerous time to wait till for the waters to be troubled. Two thieves were crucified alongside the Lord Jesus Christ to show it is possible to be saved at the last moment. But how awful for the other one who waited. Second opportunity. Waiting till the waters were troubled. I remember going to an old person's home, people's home, senior citizen's home in England some years ago. We were having some services in a church. I went into the senior citizen's home, and here was the dining room area, and at one end there was a bar. And there was an old man there. He got a glass of beer. It was half empty. And I went up to him and I said, "Hello, Dad. We're having some special services in the church just down the road, just next to your home. We'd like to give you a special invitation just for you to come along to the meeting." And he looked at me and he said, "Son, I'd rather have this beer than come to your church." He's dead now. I think he still has the glass of beer in hell. Only it's empty. Empty. Waiting till the waters are troubled. But what were they really waiting for? Well, they were waiting for heaven to come down. You see, the convenience was not with them, but with heaven. They had to be ready when heaven was ready. Convenience is not with you. Convenience is with heaven. It's when heaven condescends to speak to your heart, then you have to close in with God's offer of the gospel. And that's why the scripture says, today, if you will hear his voice, don't play around with God. See, this isn't a Spanish restaurant. You know what they do when they go into a Spanish restaurant? I don't know whether it is the same here as it is in Spain. But when you go into a Spanish restaurant, you go... That's how you call the waiter. Well, I got a convenient. Hey. Here. A lot of people treat God like that. I'm ready. Just about to die. Will you come and save me? Convenience is not with you. Convenience is with heaven. Have you seen people? We haven't educated ourselves very much, in spite of the fact that we live in the 20th century and almost in the 21st. See, we have a pain, and somebody tells us we've got a lump, and somebody tells us we're going to die. Do you know what we do? We go to the little cupboard, bring out God, stick him up, fall down in front of him, pray to him. I'll do this and I'll do that. And I'll do something else. Please. And we go through all our rosaries and crucifixes and what have you. And we go through all the candelabra and what have you. And we're crying to God. And suddenly, perhaps in his goodness and his grace, he does something for us. And we pick the idol back up, shove him back into the cupboard, close the door, forget all about him. The convenience, my dear ones, is not with you. It's with heaven. It's when heaven comes down. And that's why today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Come, for all things are now ready. Some of us will be going home for a meal, I'm sure. Or indeed, in a few moments' time, we'll be going into the back, and the ladies will say, come, because it's all ready. And if we continue to wait and wait and wait and talk in here and what have you, this food will spoil. And when we go in, we'll all be complaining about this, that, and something else because it's all spoiled. It's spoiled because we never listened to what the lady said. The lady said, come, for it's now ready. And my dear ones, the convenience is not with you. It is come. You want to be made whole. Well, come. For all things are now ready. For somebody greater than angels, the Lord of angels, went one day to the pool of Bethesda, Himself personally. And without Him, you see, angels, water, and men are all in vain. He is the only one that can do poor sinners good. And we have it in verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie. You see, my Jesus saw the 38 years of this man. That he had lived in his hopeless situation, in his helpless condition. He saw it all, how his heart had been broken for 38 years. He saw him lie. Didn't see anybody else, but just saw this one man. He singled him out because of his great heart of love. And he came to the man and he said to him, do you want to be made whole? And my dear one here this morning, he sees you. And knows altogether about your situation. And altogether about your heart. And altogether about your heartaches. And altogether about your heartbreak. And your disillusionment. And your frustration. And your helpless situation. And He comes to you this morning, the God of glory. The God of heaven. He doesn't need to come here this morning. He didn't need to create us. Because He's a self-sufficient God in and of Himself. He doesn't need anything. But He stopped eternity in order to create time. And He comes to us. And He condescends to come to us. And He says, come to me. I'll make you whole. Oh, the selecting and electing grace of God. Why was I made to hear Thy voice? And enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. He said to him, will thou be made whole? You are sick, but are you sick of your condition?
Right.
Everybody knows we're sinners. We all admit to that. Yes. None so stupid to say, I'm not a sinner. But we all admit to our sin, but are you sick of it? Because right. It's only when you're sick of it that I can do something for you. It's when you're sick that you need a physician.
Right.
Well, I'm the divine physician. Do you feel your need of Him? That's all the fitness He requires, says the hymn writer.
Yeah.
It's for you to feel your need of Him. Do you feel your need of Him? So the man being brought to a utter case of helplessness and hopelessness, Jesus says to the man, all right, do you want to be made whole? Yeah. Rise. Take up your bed. And walk. But I haven't walked for 38 years. How on earth can I pick up a pound weight? Take up this bed? Walk? You're asking me to do something stupid. Ridiculous. Impossible. I can't do it. He doesn't argue. Do you want to be made whole? Get up. Walk. And immediately. No good waiting for limbo.
No.
Or purgatory.
Right.
He says, rise. Take up your bed. And walk. But you know what my Bible says? Immediately. Immediately. It's always immediate. Immediately he took up his bed and he walked. Walked. I was in Pensacola some years ago, and there were 60 odd kids, teenagers, all been hooked on drugs. Many of them on the hard stuff. I was preaching in McAway Memorial Presbyterian Church at a conference. Pastor had been told about these 60 kids that lived in a garage on the beach, white beaches in Pensacola. They all followed a surfer who became the champion surfer on the eastern seaboard of the U.S. of A. Yancey Spencer was his name. Yancey had got converted. Yancey went back to the garage and told the 60 kids who lived on beds and everything else. But Jesus had said something was happening. And the Pentecostal pastor in Pensacola didn't know what to do with these 60 kids. And the Presbyterian pastor had some questions about, what do you say, what do you do? And he said, will you go and speak to them? And I went. And we started to speak to them. Now they were completely unchurched. I like that.
Yes.
Completely unchurched.
Yes. Yes.
They went dressed up in their Sunday best. They got just blue jeans and t-shirts and bare feet. Some of them had been saved. They said, Mr. Burgess, we're sorry about the beds. We haven't had time to clear it out. But we're going to clear it all out one day. So don't worry about the beds. I'm worried about you. So we started to speak to these kids. Now here were some of these kids that have been hooked on the hard stuff. Now you know very well in your drug rehabilitation centers that you just can't come straight off the needle like that. You have to have that withdrawal. Well, Jesus don't know anything about withdrawal time in the 20th century.
Good.
So we were privileged to preach to these kids. Same kind of thing. Do you want to be made whole? Take up your bed and walk. And these kids were met by the Lord Christ. And drugs dropped off and booze dropped off. There was one kid there that had lived for a month. He had no idea where he'd been, what he'd done. Frightened to death. He may have raped a dozen women. He may have killed. He may have done this, that, and something else. He had no recollection for a whole month of his life. He was flaked out. On the hard stuff. Dropped the needle. Got up. Walked. No withdrawal symptoms. And they're in the faith still today. Do you want to be made whole? You've got beds that hold you? Have you got sins that hold you down?
Right.
Have you got iniquities that have fettered you and bound you up? That's what hell does. That's what sin does. That's what this world does. Do you know what Jesus does? He breaks the power of castle sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood has availed for me. That's why I'm free.
Yes.
Free. Welsh used to sing in that great Welsh revival, free, free, free was the chorus of the day. Free, 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 through the blood of Christ I'm free. Through the blood of Christ my Savior, there is victory. You live in a land of freedom? No, you don't. You got police on every street corner with batons and bullets and guns. Why? Because that's how we can keep the populace down in this land of freedom. See, we don't know how to live with freedom. There's very few people that do. In all due respect. Free? You can't. You are not free. Because you're dealing, and neither am I free. There are rules and regulations. There's the federal this, that, and something else. In order to keep you all in control. Because we're not free. But He makes us free. The only society that is really free is Him.
Yes.
And then everybody's been changed and made subservient to Him. And that's glorious freedom. It is right. And my Bible says this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And you know what? The guy didn't need the bed anymore. He rolled it up. It was all finished with. Don't need the booze and the drugs and a thousand other things. Just drops off like dirty, filthy, stinking rags. Roll it all up. Bung it in the garbage. It's not needed anymore. He lets you and enables you to walk. Do you want to be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Rise. Take up your bed. And walk. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Cast yourself upon His grace and His mercy. And He saves to the uttermost. Let us pray. My dear one here this morning, do you want to be made whole? You're not whole. And how you know it? Frustrated by a thousand efforts. Disillusioned. I've tried. Social services have tried to help me. Government employers have done their utmost to help me, but I'm hooked. Perhaps you haven't got there quite yet, but your case is bad enough. 38 years, like you are, do you want to be made whole? And that's what Jesus says to us this morning. Do you want to be made whole? Well, you feel your need. Yes, I do. Well, trust Him. Cast yourself upon Him. Look to Him. Thou shalt be there. Whosoever comes unto me, I will indeed in no wise cast out. Nobody's been cast out yet. You won't be the exception to the rule that has come to me. Are you waiting? The man would have waited for another 38 years had not Jesus come to him that day. And He condescends to come to us today. That's why you're here. Funny that you should just drift into this church. We've had a week of meetings, isn't it? You know why you've drifted in? Because He's brought you. And the gospel is a savor of life unto life and of death unto death. Don't play with God. And He says, come unto me all you that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. So come. As you are and where you are. Just as I am. Without one plea, but that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. So hear our cries and meet us in our need. We would ask for Jesus' sake. Page 405.